consider believing.
All right. Pastor Johnny Reno,
bringing us the word.
Yeah.
Something on your beard.
Okay. The Lord is good, amen, and it's a pleasure to be here with you guys and see Dan, what God's doing with everyone out here, and God is good.
Amen.
And let's pray. Lord, come before you right now in your precious holy name. Name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you just speak to us, Lord, and that you'd use my mouth, use your word, Lord, to minister to each one of us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word, Lord. You've given us direction that we don't have to wonder how we should walk with you and please you, Lord, that you've given us your written word, Lord. You've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given us power, Lord, to do what we can't, Lord. And thank you for your great love towards each one of us, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus for every person here, Lord, that you just meet them today, Lord. And as we seek your face again, Lord, and again, Lord, that you just keep on refilling us and blessing us. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to talk to you guys this morning about keeping your love alive for Jesus, for God. You know, how many have been a Christian longer than 10 years? A lot of people in here. You know, how many longer than 20 years? Okay, and you might have some fumbles and bubbles, but how about 30 years? Okay. How about 40 years? Wow. There we go. How about 50 years? You've known the Lord. 50 years. You aren't that old, Pastor Allen, are you?
Thank you, Pastor.
Okay. But what I want to talk to you about is how do we keep our love alive for the Lord? Because the Bible says we love him because he first loved us, right? And that's right there, God gives us a big clue that we got to recognize that God called each one of us and he loves each one of us. And that's why we can love him. And I want to talk about keeping that love alive and a practical way how to do it. You know, if you've been a Christian longer, how many have been a Christian for less than a year? Okay. We got two people there. Okay. Praise the Lord. And so, what I've learned, or what I'm trying to practice myself, is that keeping it simple and staying with the basics. You know, if you've been a Christian a long time, you can get into the mode of going to church, going to breakfasts, meeting with these people, reading the Bible, and actually go through the motion and think that we're doing it, right? How many times have you went to church and it was a good service, but an hour later you forgot what they even said, what was even taught? You know, the Bible says, be not hearers only of the word, right? But be doers. So, as familiarity, they say, breeds contempt. And so, as we get familiar with the word, church, we've done that, done this, and it becomes old to us. And so, I want to talk to you about keeping that love alive with the Lord. And I want to keep it real basic, too, because I like things basic. You know, something that I can do. Because at times, I talk to my wife, I'm not that smart. So, I want to tell you something. That I want to go with the scripture. We're going to talk about confession of sin. 1 John 1:8, I think you guys probably know it by heart. But if you don't, you can turn to it. And we're going to go through 1 John 1:8 and 9. The Bible says in 1 John... Gospel, 1 John. John the Apostle writes this. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So, right off the bat, if we say we don't have any sin, even as an older Christian, we're deceiving ourselves. Because we are all sinners, right? Saved by grace.
Amen.
But here's the next verse, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, right? Everyone knows that verse. We've heard it over and over again. But you know what? If we've been around the block for a lot of years, we start sliding on that. You know, oh, I sinned, but I'm not going to confess it because it's just a little sin. It was just a little colored joke, or it was just a little tainted. Someone asked me about a brother, and I spoke ill of that person. I didn't confess that sin, but God calls it sin, right? And so here's what I want to say, is that as we grow older in the Lord, we start thinking that we're okay. It's human nature, you know, to go to church week after week, hear the word, and think that we're doing it, and we aren't. You know, we are not doing the word. So I want to say to you older guys, and to myself, and to you younger guys, we need to confess sin immediately. Confess sin. I didn't say confess sin to you. I said to the Lord. Okay, so when I blow it and there's a sinful attitude in my heart, it could even be spiritual pride. Looking down on someone, like, oh man, that guy's gay. Yeah, what a dummy. You know, that's sin. You know, I want to turn right now to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 8 and 9. And Paul is talking about in chapter 6, and he says this in verse 8. He says, know you yourselves do wrong and cheat. Let's start at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, or sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now here's the verse, verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of the living God. I want to tell you something. We were those things I just read. Maybe not in certain degrees, but we were all guilty, right? The Bible says if you sin in one point, you're guilty of all. But Paul says to this group of people, he says, you guys were those people I just named off. And so were we. And so I want to say that if you've been a Christian, most of the guys in here have been. And so we tend to start looking down on people. It's called self-righteousness. And it's sin. And, you know, I think we need to confess that immediately. You get an attitude, oh man, that sin is wretched. And that person is wretched. We need to confess that as sin. We need, because here's when we confess that as sin, because Jesus died for that sin. They just haven't received the benefit of it, right? Because the Bible says that Jesus died for the sin of the whole world. Not just us, but the whole world. And we need to let them know that the gift has been paid for. They need to receive it. But we need to confess our sins. The reason why we confess our sins is because the more and more I confess my sin, the more and more I realize how great God's grace is towards me. And keeping God, the love of God, alive in my heart is by... let's just turn there, okay? Let's turn to... Luke chapter 7. I think you guys know the story. is a sinful woman forgiven? And I'm just going to start reading it. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. Starting in verse 36, and he went down to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Now the Pharisee who had invited him saw this. He spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would he not know what manner of woman this is who is touching him? For she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 100 denarii and the other 50. And then they had nothing with which to repay and freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose one who was forgiven more. And he said to him, you have rightfully judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I have entered your house and you gave me no water to wash my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom is forgiven, the same loves little. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sin? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And here's what I want to say. As I confess my sins daily to the Lord, even the little ones, those little rotten attitudes, those little slanted words I speak at home or to my wife or to whoever, I confess that the Lord has sinned. Lord, that was wrong. I agree with you. Forgive me for that. I realize how much of a sinner I am. And by confessing my sins more and more, it's immediately, God says I'll love him more because I'll realize how much grace he has shown me. And if I don't confess my sins, I won't realize and I'll end up loving the Lord little. And I want to say that being an older Christian, it can happen. There was this one well preacher recorded, he said, every 10 years everyone needs to get reborn again. I want to tell you something, that what we just need to do is simply confess our sins immediately. And one, just by doing that, we're telling the Lord, Lord, I want to love you more. Lord, I want to be closer to you. And as we do this simple practice of confession of sins immediately, we thank him for that forgiveness, right? Because Jesus paid the price for each one of those sins. And we're going to go to communion right now. And I want to take a few moments and maybe even this morning we need to confess some sins. Maybe from yesterday or last week. There's things that, little things that we have built up. You know, it's said that no one's tripped over a mountain. It's always a little crack in the sidewalk we trip over. It's the little sins. And David said, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. Lead me in the way of everlasting. And so we're going to take communion again, and we're going to look, and we're going to remember what Jesus did for each one of us personally. I really believe through confession of sins, going back to the table, we get that renewed sense of the love of God, that He first loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. You older guys, He loves you the same. His love has never changed for any of us. And as we continue to confess our sins, we realize that really, the amazing grace of it all is that He chose us years ago, knowing all the sins we commit from now to then, after knowing the truth. And He still chose us. And His love is great towards us. And I just want to take a couple moments as we take communion and ponder that love, confess our sins, and just tell the Lord, Lord, we want to love You, so revive us as we confess our sins. You justified us just as if we never sinned. Justification. And so, Dan, could you pass the elements out? And if you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible gives a strong warning. Do not take this. I know some churches do, as just a sacrament or a religious exercise. But in this place, we don't. Because we're doing it. The Bible says, do this in remembrance of Me. Don't do it unworthily. How can I be worthy with God? I'm a sinner. Just by simply receiving Jesus Christ in your heart, recognizing that He died for you, and confessing that, inviting Him into your heart, and then you will be worthy. And worthy to receive, not because of who you are, but because of what He did and who He is. That's why we receive His righteousness. The Bible says, He made Him who knew no sin, Jesus, took our sin upon Him, that we might be the righteousness of God. We inherit Jesus' righteousness now. And so, if you, let's just bow our heads. If you don't know Jesus, or if you're a long ways away from the Lord, or if you need to get back to the Lord, I just want you to pray silently, and I'm going to pray a little prayer to receive Jesus Christ in your heart, forgive you of your sins, and you say that prayer so that you'll be worthy to partake in the sacrament of Jesus Christ, remembering what He did for us. So let's bow our heads, and Christians, be praying, because even maybe a brother is a prodigal here, and we want them to come back. And so, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank You for Your simplicity of Your word, Lord, that You've forgiven us, Your blood is paid. You want us to confess and agree with You that You're right and we're wrong. And so please forgive us, renew that relationship with us. And Lord, we recognize right now for anyone who needs to receive or come back to Jesus, Jesus, You died for us. You died for me. I invite You into my heart. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Place Your Holy Spirit in me. I want to receive salvation. And I want to go to heaven, and I want to be right with You if You should come back tonight, or if I should go to meet You. So I receive You by faith, and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to take 1 minute. I want you guys to pray privately. I just want you to just take an inventory of your life. Maybe a week or a day. You and just, you know, there's, we all, the Bible says in 1 John 8, if we say we have no sin, we are liars. And I want you to boldly and humbly confess that before the Lord and ask Him, and just agree with Him. Ask Him to do a mighty work in your life, and the result will be great love for Jesus. And when revival happens, that's the first sign. Love for Jesus Christ. There's no revival without love for Jesus Christ, personal love. And that's what we're doing. That's why we're here. So let's just confess our sins. God sees it all anyways, and He still loves you. He wants to renew that fellowship with you. So just confess your sins. Lord, we come confessing our sins, and according to your word, we confess our sins. You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your word tells us that you're beaten, you're wounded, you're bruised, for your chastisement was upon you for our peace, Lord. And by your stripes we are healed, Lord. And we just want to take this bread right now and we'll lift it up together and just remember that you paid a debt that you didn't know. You paid a debt where we couldn't pay. And we want to remember you. You can take that and just you know, by his stripes we are healed. I know that spiritually, but I believe that's physically too. And you might have a physical healing you need, but the spiritual one is most important. Because the Bible says the things unseen are eternal. And so let's just lift this up and just know that he was whipped and beaten and bruised for you and me, and he endured it for the joy set before him, knowing that you would be here this morning. And so, Lord, we remember right now that you were beaten and bludgeoned for each one of our sins, Lord, and that we confess, Lord, and we thank you and we remember as we take this word, we want to eat your body, Lord, as a symbol that you are the living bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's lift a cup. Let's take the juice, the wine, representing his blood that forgives us and gives us new life, makes us born again. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, we lift this up and we just rejoice, Lord. We rejoice, Lord, that you paid for our sins, Lord, and that we could have eternal life, Lord, through your blood that you poured out for each one of us personally. And so we just drink this, Lord, in celebration, in reverence, but at the same time celebrating that our life, you've given your life so we could have life, Lord. And we say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, I just want to encourage you, just a little reminder, I know you guys probably already knew it, just keep on confessing those sins, because you're going to realize with me as I do that, moment by moment, and we've got a lot of sins that have been forgiven. A lot of sins forgiven. Maybe little ones, maybe not. Some people would say, oh, those aren't big sins. Sin is sin. And as we do that moment by moment, the Bible says, and we read it in Luke chapter 7, he who is forgiven much, loveth much. Thank you, guys.